May these words be to God's glory. We're beginning to look at a new season. The signs are everywhere. Anyone who's ever been in a church for any length of time knows what to expect. In fact, in many churches, September is the beginning of the year. It's old hat, more or less. That doesn't mean there won't be a rocky transition, or two, as we go from one season to another. As with most changes, we think we know what's coming. We're just not sure whether it's going to be today or tomorrow, unless, of course, this is a whole totally new season that we have never seen before. In our days, we spend a lot of time paying attention to the seasons and the wind, and we listen to the weather. It's the first little app on the upper left-hand corner of my phone. We want to know if the sun's going to shine or not. When I was a girl living in the four-season Midwest, and after my beloved grandparents moved away to California, I would, from time to time, get these sweet little notes from my granta. And these tiny little notes were always and only about the weather. The weather in Southern California. And how wonderfully sunny it was all the time. And how sometimes it rained, but it was always sunny. Then, without fail, my granta would sign these notes with three little X's and three little O's. No matter what the weather, my grandfather was consistent with his X's and O's. I could count on him talking about the weather as much as I could count on him sending me three hugs and three kisses with each note. While there were different descriptions about the weather, there was never any uncertainty about the hugs and the kisses that came in these notes. And for that constancy, I'm grateful. But when it came to the texts of these notes, I was hoping for more. I wanted more than a postscript about the weather. Now I wonder, what was I missing? What was I hoping for as a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old? I think I was hoping to be surprised. I wanted him to say how much he loved me, how wonderful I was, or a story about his life, somehow something that would surprise me, and it wouldn't be about the weather. I don't want the same old weather report. I want to be surprised. And Jesus' scripture passage today does that, and he does it with gusto, and we may not like it very much, but he says, whoever comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters, yes, even love itself, cannot be my disciple. I think if that was the first thing we ever heard in church, we would go right back out. I want to be surprised, but not like this. I want to be pleasantly surprised. Surprised in a new way, not a way that jumps out and scares me kind of surprise. I don't want a surprise like that. But sometimes we need surprises that get us going. Why are we surprised that Jesus says these things? Things like, love your enemy. Ugh. Turn your other cheek. Really? But maybe we think he's gone a little too far here. He can't be serious. We're supposed to hate our moms and dads. That can't be really what he's saying. Here is a wonderful surprise. To fully understand Christ's meaning here, it helps to know the meaning of the Greek word translated as hate. It's translated as hate into English, but in the original Greek, the word is misio. It means to love less. Love less. So, to love less is a whole lot different than hate. So I thought, okay, now there was my surprise. I can look at the scripture differently. So here Jesus is saying, love others less and love him more. Love his teachings more. Love his way of living more. Love his love more. And that's a relief, because honestly, without Jesus, I have to say much of who I am and what I believe would be useless. I would be saying and doing just what I wanted to. I wouldn't have a Jesus filter to remind me to care for the least of these when I don't want to be an angel to strangers when I'd rather not, and to preach the best I can. That last part's not really in the Bible. Sometimes what we think is not meant at all. Instead, we have to look farther to be surprised. This passage, unfortunately, doesn't end here. But I think if we look at misio, meaning to love less all those things we want, the rest of the passage might make a little more sense. If we realize that what's at stake requires us to listen more with new ears. The same new ears of this new season and this new time of new beginning in this church. The reasons why things have to happen the way they do and the way Jesus is working with us through the whole thing. This morning, Jesus is on a tear. He's not happy. He is, we might say, trying to get us to pay attention too hard. Sometimes as the emotion ramps up, we listeners ramp down. There was a man in my church in Deerfield, and every time I said, may these words be to the glory of God, he went like this. He said he was praying, but I know he was sleeping. He was snoring, so we knew he was sleeping. He didn't want to hear the charge of what had to come. We as listeners, when we're hearing stuff we don't like, we tend to lose our focus. We tend to tune out. But we're in church together, so that's a good thing, even if some of us have the propensity to tune out instead of tune in. Everybody won't be tuning out. So last week I promised that in these next weeks I would talk about things that I think we need to learn here. I think this church does a great job of keeping on its blinders in so many ways. We want to think of the good and glorious and wonderful things about church and God and Jesus, and we just don't want to think about the part where he says, hate your mother and father to love me, and then to have to do all that homework to figure out what that really meant. Blinders. Now, when I mentioned this recently, someone said, oh, but we take them off so much more regularly than we used to. And when I mentioned this to Susan, she said, well, there's always more room to take them off some more. As many of you know, I've been in real trouble since I came to Campbell. I've never been able to find a place to live for very long where the rent didn't go sky high. I've moved 4 times in 2 years with 2 long-term stops at Larkspur Suites and 2 more at Carol Berger's where I am now. We all hoped, against hope, that something would happen to make this better. We never realized when I first rented a place for $3,250 that the rent the following year would go up to $4,000. I moved to another place thinking I could find something better, but I wasn't much of a match for the Silicon Valley housing problem. So with God's intentions, I thought at my shoulder, I just couldn't figure it out. God expects us to be the hands and the feet of the holy. My goal this morning is to ask you to please not call another person here if they don't have the resources to live here. I should have said, I have 2 dogs and a son who doesn't have a full-time job and couldn't find a full-time job here, and I couldn't figure out why I didn't realize all this before. This is my family, and I needed to be in relationship with them. So these are the choices and the decisions I had to make, and it's no one's fault. No one's fault. Everyone tried really hard. So, take our blinders off a little bit. And yes, Be willing to see the bright, bright sunlight. Don't be dismayed, though. You're a wonderful church. We did wonderful work together. And starting next week, once you begin to meet Lauren and me together and see how this will move forward, you will see that you're in good hands, that life will go on for this church, and you'll do really well. It's been my honor to be called here, even with the difficulties. So, speaking of coming to church, there's a brand new study done, coincidentally, at the University of Wisconsin-Madison that has said that people are happier when they go to church. Here we are in a community. We're not just in front of a TV. We can put into practice what might be something that is a little bit greater than ourselves. Something that surprises us every time we worship. And in the strength of this community, we might be able to love a Jesus who says something like, "You can't be my disciple unless you give up all your possessions." We can follow a Jesus that says that because we know love comes first and the challenges are always there for us. William Lamar IV said that we must never be afraid of an angry Jesus that we meet in Scripture. Jesus who asks too much. Lamar says, we can be unafraid of this Jesus who turns over tables. We need that Jesus. We have some table turning to do of ourselves, of our own. Be unafraid of the Jesus who demands that we hate father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, and life itself to follow him. Lamar goes on, we have some hating to do. There are some traditions and lies we have received from those we hold dearest, things that must be hated and abandoned if we are to hope of being used by God. This text does not run away from an angry, direct Jesus. Young listeners and more seasoned listeners alike will appreciate Luke's believable Savior. It's tempting to sprinkle sugar or pour honey on this text, but the news does not have to be sweet. It has to be good. The news does not have to be sweet, but it has to be good. For it is there in the love, not the sweet, syrupy love, but the good love, where we trust where our Jesus is leading us. But the question is, will we get complacent because this feels too hard? Will we put our blinders back on? Or will we keep looking for that love in all of our seasons? Will we change? Will we be willing to do more to be the church? Or will we stay the same? As a people of faith, I say get ready. Get ready to be surprised. Get ready to be surprised, for a new season is upon all of us. And a little bit of sweetness never hurts. So three X's and three O's to you. Amen and amen.